It's a joy for me to be with you this morning. If I remember correctly, I visited you last time on the day that you were celebrating or giving thanks for God for the 25th year of your existence, the testimony in this part of the country. What a joy to know that God continues to call people to respond to His saving grace, and He gathers people to worship a holy God. And He also prepares a people unto Himself, whom He is going to receive one day into His eternal presence. And He is going to return to be glorified in the midst of His saints. And I am happy that I will be among those saints. And I am happy that all of you will be there in that company of saints when they will be regathered in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I bring you greetings from Bethany Chapel, Wheaton, Illinois. We also started gathering physically about 6 weeks now. But this pandemic has brought both challenges and new opportunities, new insights into what we can do to the people of God in the faith community. And we are asking why we never thought like this, why a pandemic took for us to think afresh as how we could reach out to some of the needy people, even believers, with the gospel of Christ, word of encouragement, etc. So what I'm going to tell you is this, that we have physical meetings like this, but we decided to continue our Zoom program. That is, our messages will be available to those outside who are not able to come to chapel. My chapel is consisting of a lot of older people who cannot drive anymore to chapel. Several are in their nursing homes, and even those who used to bring them to the chapel are unable to come to chapel. But we thought that this continuing the Zoom meeting, Zoom available to them, is a great encouragement for these people who really need to be reached out. They need to hear a word spoken to them. Although they are not able to participate physically in the Lord's Supper, they can at least join in the heart and spirit as we sing hymns. What a beautiful hymn, song that you introduced this morning. My heart is just thrilled to hear such beautiful songs, hymns written by God's people. I want to learn that and introduce that to our chapel also. So people can be encouraged in that way as we continue this Zoom availability to our existing members of our church. We also found this, that during these pandemic times, as we conducted week after week, we were joined by many from other countries who are either our missionaries. We have missionaries in 14 countries. 14 countries, we have 14 commended workers. And some of them are able to join us on a Sunday morning from Bolivia, some of the European countries, and even from Africa. There are people joining us week after week because our timing seemed to work for them. So what I'm saying is that God has brought new opportunities for us to minister. I myself have been greatly encouraged to think afresh a way of reaching out to God's people. And the post-pandemic world will perhaps bring new opportunities and challenges for us, even as we gather in a space like this to worship the Lord. Well, before I introduce the scripture for the day, I also would like to share some personal experience with you, because that will give you a context for my message this morning. My message is going to be short, But my introduction is going to be, I do not know, or equally of equal length. Well, if I remember honestly, the last 2-3 months have been very, very difficult for me emotionally, because I have participated via Zoom several memorial services or burial services that were available to me. I have lost dear friends both in this country and in India. I have lamented over the passing away of some great servants of God with whom I had the privilege of working together or learning the word together. I have lost some of my, lost again, I do not want to use that word. I want to use the word, I have seen some of my students or my colleagues, co-workers being promoted to glory. But humanly speaking, a kind of a loss, sense of loss. So, 2 or 3 of my own students whom I taught 3 to 4 years are with the Lord. And there were weeks, at least two incidences or two memorial services that I will be participating. I have spoken in a couple of these memorial services from home. What I am saying is that it has burdened my heart, and even I cried out, with the psalmist, "Oh God, oh Lord, godly men are disappearing." And when I think of the work in India, work elsewhere, when God's people, faithful people, are called out from their field to their eternal home, there is a vacuum. And I am praying, oh God, whom are you going to raise up in this place? Who is going to continue this work? Of course, the Lord knows whom he will have to replace them. But faithful men are leaving us. At least few have already left. And we need God's people to rise up and take the responsibilities for evangelism, for missions, for the gathering of saints in local places to lead local church, things like that. So it has been one of my burdens during these days. And even this morning, as I was driving with my son to the chapel, I got a message. I just opened it and I just read, father of a dear friend of mine from Bangalore, India, passed away a couple of hours ago. Well, we have been experiencing the sense of loss. But I am also encouraged, and I am also making a difference in my processing of this information. That's a great difference in the burial service or in the memorial service of a believer. There are voices of triumph and victory in Christ Jesus. There is this utterances of a hope in Christ, expectation of being able to meet them one day. There are the words of hope from the mouth of those who are mourning. So there is this intermingling of sadness and hope, as I have experienced. Well, while I was passing through this, 2 things happened. Again, I just want to tell you how my message is going to tie into this thing. I was teaching a philosophy class, wrapping up my last class for my philosophy class. It was a Zoom class. After the class, I came down, my office in the upstairs, I came down. My daughter is asking, "Papa, where are you taking a Bible class?" I said, "Why?" "I heard you talk about the death of Christ, resurrection of Christ. I heard you referring to Corinthians and Thessalonians and all." I said, "Oh, you are listening to what I am talking?" I said, "Yes." "What is that about?" I said, "That is my philosophy class, last class, wrapping up class. This text I didn't choose. It is in my philosophy textbook, Questions for the Soul. Questions for the Soul is the title of a philosophy book I teach. And in that, there are two sections. One from 1 Corinthians 15, other one from Thessalonians. And these are for my students to read and to reflect and for me to engage with them. That's what I was doing in my class. And the same day, I happened to go to YouTube for something. And lo and behold, I saw a video. I didn't listen full, but I know the brother. Some of you know this brother, an Indian brother. He lives in India, but travels to other parts of the world, ministering the world. God has given him the gift of teaching and preaching about biblical prophecy. And there are some of his videos that are uploaded in YouTube. And as I was about to open that video, there was a comment on the top. That was the first comment that I found there. And it shocked me. A listener or someone who have had access to this video has commented very badly to this message. I am avoiding one word that he used to start his comment, but then the rest of the word says, "Stop preaching and teaching this. For the last 2000 years, you people have been talking about Jesus returning. Nothing happened. Nothing has changed. Stop." And I looked into the name of this person. This person carries at least a biblical name. So someone who carries a biblical name, who doesn't believe in the second coming of Christ or anything that is to do with what my brother was trying to do. Well, the introduction to my message this morning is this, that as believers, we expect our Savior Lord Jesus Christ and his imminent return. This is the hope of the Church of God. And we, even while we anxiously wait, we also are exhorted to live our life diligently, expectantly, life in holiness and in purity, so that we can continue to live a transformed life as long as God allows us to live here on earth. And therefore, my friends, I would like to place before you a long chapter, but I am going to focus my talk on a few selected verses. If you have your Bibles with me, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. I am okay with your open Bible, physical Bible, or your electronic Bible. Okay, there has been some conversations about that. You can boot up electronic Bible, but I personally carry a big Bible. There was a time when I was looking for the most thinnest Bible. Now I am looking for the biggest and the letters, the big letters, because I'm becoming old and I have some reading difficulty. So, big letters. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter deals with this issue or this subject of the coming of the Lord. Broadly speaking, it is a discussion, not a full discussion. It's a reference to the eschatological events that are to take place with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about the eschatology, the doctrine of last things, you know, there are a lot of events associated with that. The return of the Christ to receive the church unto himself, the rapture of the church, and then the other events such as tribulation, millennium, and the great white throne judgment, the creation of new heaven and earth, all those things are involved in that eschatological program of God. But Peter makes reference to some of these events that will happen perhaps in our own lifetime, or it is going to happen at a time when we are least expecting. And then he is urging his readers, the readers in Asia Minor, to live godly lives. So my burden this morning is to calling you and me to a greater sense of our responsibility to live as believers in holiness and in godliness and in the expectancy of the soon returning Lord Jesus Christ. So I am going to place before you verses 11 following, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons we ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteous will dwell. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has returned to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know that this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will enlighten us of the truth of your word. Even as I stand with your word, O Lord, speak to me, speak through me. Help my brothers and sisters to heed to the truth of your word. Prepare our hearts to receive your word, O Lord. Glorify your name in and through us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I said, Peter is presenting here a lot of ideas relating to the eschatological events. But I would like to draw your attention to verse 1 of the chapter, where he says, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle to stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder." So I also join with Peter here, saying, my desire is to stir up your minds for fresh thinking, for fresh look into our Christian responsibility here on earth. And then it's also to remind you. It's not that you don't know anything or you know these things, but it's good to be reminded. So my hope is to remind you of what kind of people we ought to be in the light of the soon coming, soon returning Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11 of the same chapter, we have this statement, or I can turn it as a question: what manner of people we ought to be? What manner of people we ought to be? Peter introduces here at least one or two ideas here. One is the idea of the day of the Lord. This is a term that is found both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament speakers, prophets, spoke about the day of the Lord, which is considered to be a day of judgment. And in the New Testament, we also read about the day of the Lord. Some say this day of the Lord should be understood as a period of time in which God will bring all the events to completion in which God will ultimately bring to pass all that he wants to do with mankind and the universe that he created before he introduces the new heaven and new earth. Now, there is another word here about the new heaven and new earth, and Peter says, look forward, you look forward to that new heaven and new earth, which is the glorious abode of the righteous. In other words, look forward to heaven. The heaven is going to come. So believers are not looking forward to the impending day of judgment that God will bring upon a God-rejecting world. They are not looking for it, but they know that that will happen. That will come. But the believers are exhorted in faith to look forward to the soon coming Christ, to be received unto himself, to be with him in this eternal home, the new heaven and new earth, the home of the righteous. As I said at the beginning of my introduction here, all of the dear ones that have gone ahead of us, we will meet them, we will unite with them in the home of the righteous. Well, friends, I would like to bring for you four aspects of reminders, four reminders to us with regard to our responsibility as the people of God, responsibility for individual personal life. Okay, collectively we can talk about it, but I would also like to primarily focus on my responsibility, my calling as a follower of Christ. And then we'll collectively we can also think about our responsibility as the body of Christ, as the body of Christ in the light of Christ coming. What manner of persons we should be? The first thought I would like to bring to you is found in verse 11 that says, we ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. The question is, what kind of people we ought to be in holy conduct and godliness? And I am taking the idea from there that we need to live our lives in holiness and in godliness. The scripture exhorts us to do that. That's what the Christians or believers are called unto. As I was walking to the chapel, all of a sudden, it occurred to my mind that it is customary in our assemblies to call fellow believers as saints in Christ. The saints gathered at so-and-so place. We are saints of God. People who are separated unto God for what? For a holy living. And so we are to conduct ourselves in godliness and in holy conduct. In some of the things that have happened in the recent times that are known to some of you, we know that some great people of God that we have admired have fallen in their testimony. Some of the people have been exposed that we thought they are godly men that we could emulate. But we find that some of these people have lived a kind of a double life. And that reminds me of the danger of being deceived by so-called leaders or so-called people that we think they are something wonderful, great, but it is possible that people can have a mere form of godliness. Externally, they are godly, but the power of godliness is not in them. They refuse the power of godliness. So when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, he says, beware of men who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. But yet you, as a follower of Christ, you should know that you are part of that band of people, A people who are called unto himself, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special possession of God, called to declare the praises of God, you are called from darkness unto wonderful light. That's what you and I are to be. And this we can live up to only if we commit ourselves to a life of holiness. The scripture says, be holy as God is holy. So in Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, we are exhorted to live a blameless life, pure life, in a crooked and evil generation. So this is our responsibility today. When people are denying the truth concerning Christ, when they deny the truth of the gospel, we have to demonstrate to them the wonder of a transformed life because of the gospel of God, Christ, because of the grace of God operating in us. And therefore, it is our call to approve things that are excellent and to reject that things that do not pertain to a Christian life. And we are to sincerely offer ourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice. We are called upon to live our life as a sacrifice daily. And also in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16, there is this very, very neat phrase that is a commercial phrase that is buying up the time or redeeming the time, making yourself for the right time, the opportune time. This is the time that God has given you to live your life godly and in the midst of an evil generation, make use of all opportunity to cultivate Christian character. Take time to read the scripture. Allow the Holy Spirit to work with you or within you. Ask God to purify you. Ask God to give you grace to walk in his ways of godliness. So that is our cry. Oh Lord, faithful, godly men are disappearing from my generation. Make me to live an exemplary life. That is in the light of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you expect Christ to come for his people, for you, then you are expected to demonstrate such kind of a life, eagerly expecting Christ to come and at the same time sincerely committing our lives to a holy life. Number two, you will find that idea in verse 14 where we read, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So the second exhortation is to be diligent. Be diligent. Why? Because you are looking forward to these things that God's word has foretold. Be diligent to be found in peace with him. Peace with him meaning in relationship with him. Live a life in relationship with Christ in such a way that you are committing yourself to a life that is spotless and blameless. And we know that we cannot claim ourselves total purity or a total perfection, but that's what our aim is. That's what God the Holy Spirit is working in us by his work of sanctification. Our commitment is to a life of blameless. The goal of Christ is to present you and me and the church of God blameless before his Father. And this is our commitment. So there is a calling in of human responsibility. Yeah, it's true that Holy Spirit works with us, but there is also a responsibility given to you and to me. So being diligent, to be a hard worker, to be a person who is intensely searching into the scriptures like the Bereans. Okay, so that is our responsibility. I like this reminder that Peter gives us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 7, where he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith godliness, to godliness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. This is what Christian life ought to be. As you will see in that list, we can also see them as a kind of a reflection of the fruit of the Spirit. God wants to bring forth in us these great qualities as we strive, as we commit ourselves into that kind of a life God has called us to. If you are going to be lazy, that won't happen. It is your call. What is the result of such a committed life? In the words of Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, these are the results of a diligent Christian. A Christian who is diligently committing himself to a holy life. For you, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be effective today? You want to be profitable for the Lord while you have some years to live here on earth? Commit yourself. As you strive, as you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective. Positively speaking, to be effective in the hands of the Lord, we need to cultivate this intense desire on our heart. I remember growing up, growing up with my parents, even my grandparents, they used to force us, have quiet time. This is the time for your quiet time. When I went to Bible school, they had a time of quiet time. I used to think, why they should insist us to have a quiet time. Later I learned that only if I cultivate a habit, those things will happen. So the problem for some of us is that we are not disciplined. Spiritual discipline of reading God's word, taking time to prayer, taking time to meditate, that can instill in us the Christian values and Christian character. So that is being diligent. So friends, be holy and godly in the light of Christ's coming, and be diligent. And the third idea is found in verse 15. Verse 15. Okay, verse 17, where we read, Beware also that you don't fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked. Be on guard that your steadfastness will not be affected by being led away with the error of the evil men, the wicked. In other translations, the word used is lawless men. Peter reminds his readers that in the last days, there will be lawless men, wicked men, false teachers, false preachers, who would come and teach you doctrines that are demonic, doctrines that are contrary to the gospel of Christ. And they have this great, great influence on the minds of people, that people's devotion to Christ can be taken away. In Peter's own time, this was a challenge. Some of the false teachers were saying, second coming, Christ coming, don't believe in it. There is no truth in that. Live the way you want to live. Live a sensual life, a life that can give you most joy. Forget about Christ, about his judgment. Live life loosely as you want to live your life. Well, Peter says that this is nothing strange. Christ and his apostles have foretold us about these kinds of men. Men and women, not only men, okay? Both men and women have appeared in Christian history as false teachers and false preachers. Let me draw your attention to verse 2 of chapter 3. Verse 2. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. This is another word for these false teachers and prophets. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. They have their own lust, and they teach doctrines and practices in accordance with their lust, and they will want to have a band of people to go after them. So I'm saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and prediction of the ungodly men. So these ungodly men are destined for their own prediction. But these ungodly men are among the Christian community then and now. So that's why in my public speaking and private speaking, I always tell people, when you get a new title of a book, when you get a new song somebody introduced, examine what is in that, what is written in that book. What's the content of, what's the material about? What's the content of that song that is introduced to you? Because these are the ways in which Satan tries to introduce demonic wrong teachings. What is effect? It can affect the devotion of a child of God. Can divert you from your steadfast devotion to Christ. At this time, just one name came to mind. My name. I think my time is almost up, right? 5 more minutes? Okay, great. One name that came to my mind is, perhaps some of you know this name, Charles Templeton. Charles Templeton was in some way a mentor to Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of our times. There was a time when Templeton preached and more people came during the time of altar call than what happened when Billy Graham called out people to make their decisions. When they traveled together to England for some gospel campaigns, thousands and thousands and thousands of people made decisions. He was a great man of God with great oratory, the brilliant man. He was a Canadian. But shortly thereafter, he forsook Christ. He betrayed Christ. And he took a stand against all that he preached and he taught about. He started his own independent television or that other kind of broadcasting business. And for many years, at least some 20, 25 years, he lived his life having nothing to do, no conversation about Christ or Christianity or nothing. And somebody happened to interview him at some point of time before he died. They straight asked him, Templeton, do you regret for the decision that you have made concerning Christ and Christian faith? He said, I have no regret. But I regret one thing. I once a while missed that man. Who is that man? That man Jesus. Oh, that's true. You miss him out? For what? Did that man influence you? Did that man inspire you? Did you learn something from him? Why is that you are missing that man Jesus? So Jesus, the Savior of the world that Templeton preached about, all of a sudden he is reduced to a mere man. but he still feels kind of missing him. This is a time of apostasy as well. People are falling away from faith. But you, men and women, the chosen of God, you had to contend for the most holy faith. Guard your faith. Guard your faith. So be holy, be diligent, and be on guard. And the last thought I would like to share with you is found in verse 18. Verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Growing in the knowledge and in the grace of God. I know that there are men and women who can say, I came to know the Lord some 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Yeah, we have great Christian experience behind us. We have come to know Christ and his word, etc. But nobody can say that I have come to a point where I need no more grace. Where I have come to a point where I need no more growth. Till our bodies are laid down to the earth, we need to grow. We need to grow in the grace of God, in the knowledge of Christ. What do grace do for us? The grace humbles us. The scripture says God gives grace to those who are humble. So it makes us humble believers in the presence of Christ. What do the knowledge of Christ do? The more we know who Christ is, the more we appreciate who he is. The more we appreciate his redemptive work. The more we appreciate his gospel. The more we know him, we will sing for him. The greatest thing in all my life is to know him. The greatest thing in all my life is to serve him. The greatest thing in all my life is to love him. Will you make that prayer? Even as Paul, even as Peter has challenged these believers in Asia Minor to live their life in the knowledge of Christ and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the desire of Paul as well, forgetting everything for the sake of knowing Christ. So even as you and I expect the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe today, maybe next time, maybe tomorrow, maybe in few years, I do not know. But I know one thing, the Lord is going to come to gather his saints unto himself. So believers, be ready, be on guard. Live holy life. Grow in the grace of God. But let me part you with these words. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. And I want that to be the prayer of me and you. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha. The Lord Jesus may come. May the Lord bless these words to us. And I thank you for the time that the assembly has given me to share the word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, even as we have considered your word, it's our prayer that we will commit ourselves to live a holy life that will bring testimony to your saving grace. That we will be diligent in following you, in studying your word and growing in our Christian character. And that we will also commit ourselves to a life of growth, a life of humility in grace, that you will continue to build our lives. And also that we will guard our lives so that we will be steadfast in our faith, not being diverted from our attention and our purity and our devotion from you. To this extent, we commit ourselves and also make this prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.